This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to do our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues program. So those of you who are listening to us live will have a chance to call in and ask some questions. And those of you who are not listening to us live, at least when you listen to the program in the following week, hopefully we'll be able to be of some help to you. Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. On this segment of the program, I have two of my very favorite guests who are really stars in the area of landlord-tenant. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants exclusively. He does not like landlords. Oh, God, that's scary. Scary. Down boy. His offices are in San Francisco. My other guest, a very mild and sweet person.
Oh, gee. Thanks, Chuck.
Is Mark Seidenfeld, who's a real estate attorney. He represents landlords much of the time, tenants sometimes. Not in the same case, though.
Definitely not.
And his offices are in South San Francisco. So we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of different things for you, and then we'll get to some calls for people, or from people, I should say. What about, you know, you mentioned to me, Mark, that there is a change, apparently a change in the law. I guess it's effective as of January 1st of this year. Abandoned personal property. What's this boil down to?
When a tenant moves out of an apartment and leaves property behind, the landlord has certain obligations regarding that property. If in good faith the landlord believes it's worth $300 or less, he's entitled to just simply dispose of it. If it's worth more than that, he has an obligation to store it and to notify the tenant that it is being stored, and the tenant has a certain amount of time, which I believe was 18 days from the date of notice, to come and reclaim the property. After that, the landlord could sell it at public auction. This was a major hassle and inconvenience for landlords. The legislature finally, after many, many years, has raised that sum from $300 to $700, mm-hmm. which is still way too low.
Yes.
It's very common for people to leave stuff behind when they leave.
This has been a problem for landlords with some frequency?
Definitely, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be any less of a problem in that the legislature has increased the value up to $700?
Well, it helps, but it's not going to solve
the
problem.
Okay. All right.
Well, and there's a follow-up on that also. The other change is that if the property is left in the residential dwelling unit and the tenant reclaims the property within 2 days, the landlord can no longer charge for storage.
Oh, really?
Which the landlord used to be able to do.
Right.
So I think that's going to benefit a lot of people who are just shell-shocked when the sheriff comes at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
And grab what they can mm-hmm. and come back the next day with some friends or the day after yeah. to grab their stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about now, in San Francisco, there's, and I believe this is under, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, under the rent ordinance, is there a change in the law with regard to limitations on compensation for temporary displacement? Is that for San Francisco only, or is that state law?
No, this is San Francisco only.
And so what does that boil down to? We're a rent ordinance city in San Francisco.
We are definitely a rent ordinance city, rent control and eviction control. It has been the law that when there is a no-fault eviction, meaning no fault on the part of the tenant, an eviction because of a landlord move-in or the building, the premises are being removed from use as a residence, certain other things, that the landlord is required to pay a relocation expense mm-hmm. to the tenant, each tenant who's in the unit, a considerable sum. It's over $5,000 per tenant. And if the tenant is over a certain age and or disabled and has been there over a certain number of years, there are additional fees mm-hmm. that have mm-hmm. to be paid. And that has always included a temporary relocation. Mm-hmm. If the landlord had to make some repair in the unit and the tenant was going to be out for a week, the landlord still had to make those payments. And the legislature, again, finally granted some relief.
When you say the legislature, do you mean the state legislature or the San Francisco?
No, this was passed by the state legislature in response to complaints from San Franciscans.
I see.
That they've changed it. If the relocation is going to be temporary for 20 days or less, that the landlord has to pay $275 per day per tenant for the temporary housing instead of the over $5,000 per tenant, or the landlord, if they can provide comparable housing, a similar unit in the same area, that sort of thing, that's also okay. So this is a very big deal for landlords.
So this is state law, though? This now applies throughout the state?
No, this is just San Francisco.
They focus right on San Francisco?
It's response to a problem created by our rent ordinance.
I see.
But would apply in Berkeley or Oakland or anywhere else there's a rent ordinance?
I honestly don't know what the relocation program is or if those cities even have relocation expenses.
And, of course, I have a differing view on this. One of the ways that, in my 20 years of practice, I have seen landlords terribly abuse the move-out process is where they have the tenants move out, rip up the floors, rip out the ceilings, make the units uninhabitable, and then, it's not going to take 90 days. It's going to take 9 months to get you back in there. I think the other thing that's really going to be easy for landlords to abuse is this comparable housing. You know, they'll decide that the rat-infested motel down the street is comparable housing, and if you don't like it, you can sue me about it. And lastly, Mark and I were talking off the air. What happens at day 21 when the landlord hasn't let the tenant back in? Does he all of a sudden owe the tenant $5,000? That's what my lawsuits will say. So
you will. Mark, what would you say to that?
I would say it's an open question. Okay. I honestly don't know.
All right.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. Finally, we have a third thing that I'd like you to talk about, and that is when a tenant is living in a property where there has been a foreclosure and the tenant is entitled to receive some kind of notice. I think that this is state law. And Mark, what is that? How much notice is the tenant entitled to have?
If the tenant is on a month-to-month tenancy,
yes.
He is entitled to a 90-day notice.
Okay.
It used to be either 30 or 60 days, depending on how long the tenant had been there. If the tenant has a long-term tenancy, in other words, a year-long...
Something in writing. Yeah.
That has not expired, then the new owner is bound by the terms of that existing...
Even though there is a foreclosure.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful for the tenant anyway.
It is, yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. I don't see that anybody has yet called in. I don't know. Maybe everything is just totally, totally copacetic out there. The tenants and the landlords are just hugging each other. They're so happy with each other. I'm sure it's just absolutely incredible. And so what I would suggest that we do at this point, take a brief break. And let me give you the number for Call a Lawyer. I see that at least a couple of the lawyers for Call a Lawyer are on the phone. So those of you are doing pretty well on that. Our Call a Lawyer number is 1-800-525-9917. We do this, as you may know, every month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. No obligation on your part. We have, I think, with us tonight 10 attorneys. I hope they've all shown up in the area of workers' compensation law, criminal law, family law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant law. We've got two landlord-tenant attorneys to take your calls off the air, employment law and labor law, immigration law, small claims, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation, and if you are being hounded by your creditors, tomorrow Leon Bayer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be talking to you if you want to give him a call between 8 a.m. and noon. If you'll call his 800 number, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. And if you get his voicemail, please leave your name and phone number, and Leon will call you back. All right, this is Your Legal Rights, and we're going to start with David. David, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on the air.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I live in a small studio rent-controlled apartment in the city of Berkeley, and I've been living here for many years. And I'm interested in possibly discussing, negotiating with my landlord for some improvements to the apartment. I have generally pretty good on pretty good terms with the landlord, and he's a pretty good landlord. He's been kind of dragging his heels for actually a couple of years now regarding small repairs windows, window frames, that sort of thing.
Does it leak? Do you get water?
This is like in an old Victorian that's been converted to apartments. These are wooden double sash windows, and the mechanisms, you know, don't work. One pane is broken but doesn't leak, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm also interested in possibly spending a little bit of my own hard-earned cash on doing some somewhat more extensive improvements, such as maybe replacing the flooring, doing some painting. And I'm just wondering what would be a good approach, or what are some of the legal considerations that I should keep in mind with respect to spending some of my own money on my apartment?
All right. Well, this is Coy Driscoll.
David, a few things to keep in mind here. The fact that the windows don't work means that, and that the windows are broken, those are violations that the landlord would be required to fix if you were to call the Housing Inspection Department and the City of Berkeley. If there are problems with the flooring where it is buckled or broken, then that's, you know, he'd be required to fix that as well. If what you're talking about regarding the flooring is more cosmetic, where you want, like, new wood floors or something,
right.
One thing to keep in mind is that the nicer you make the apartment, the more the incentive the landlord has to get creative about throwing you out.
Right.
So if you're going to put more put your own money into the place, I would definitely be looking at a long-term lease, because or else, you know, you could put in $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 into this place, and geez, the landlord decides he's going to move in, and then you're paying me or one of my colleagues to defend this eviction lawsuit that may not have a lot of merit.
I would add to this by saying, number one, if you have a written rental agreement now, it probably has something in it saying that the tenant cannot make alterations to the unit without the landlord's consent. So assuming that's in your rental agreement, you need to talk to the landlord and not just go out and, you know, buy new wood for a floor.
Right.
Secondly, my friend and colleague Coy here always assumes the worst of landlords. Most landlords are regular folk. They have no desire to cause you trouble.
Right.
Most landlords are happy if they just get their rent and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So if, as you say, your landlord is a reasonable person, I would approach him and talk to him and say, look, there are certain things that really need to be fixed, and things like the window, I understand it's your responsibility to fix it. Coy is absolutely right on that. Mm-hmm. But as far as aesthetics go, painting, flooring, unless it's a health danger, that's
right.
Another story. But if it's purely for, you know, design for aesthetics, then the landlord is not required to make those changes or repairs.
Okay, that's helpful. Let me just ask one follow-up question really quickly.
Sure.
If in a hypothetical situation I were to decide to do some improvements to the flooring, such as, you know, take up a really funky old carpet and get some hardwood or, you know, bamboo floors, and if I decided that the most efficient way to do that would be to actually move out for a month because I can't really live in a studio apartment with extensive work like that going on, do I in any way jeopardize my tenancy by not physically being here for, say, a month or 2 months or something
like that?
But
you're still paying the rent during that period of time,
right.
Are you not?
Right, I would be still paying the rent.
No, the answer is no, you would not.
Uh-huh.
The reason is that if you consider that your primary residence, I mean, people go away all the time. They go away for school, they go away for vacations, they go away for military service, God knows what else. But if your aim is to come back there, it's still your place. You have not abandoned it.
Great.
And I would amplify what Mark says about making sure you not only have your landlord's permission, but have it in writing.
Yeah.
And I do have to disagree with Mark on one other thing. I have actually seen landlords put their pitchforks and tails and horns into their trunks. So they're not all ordinary people.
I agree. They're not all ordinary, but the vast majority of them are.
Right.
So there you are, David. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, report back.
Okay.
Will you? The next time we do a landlord-tenant program, report back and tell us how you've done with your landlord and whether or not your landlord took his pitchfork out of the trunk of his car.
Okay? Thanks a lot.
Okay, and buy some extra Band-Aids, I suggest. Take care. All right. Bye. Thank you very much for calling. Steve, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
Is the sound okay?
You're okay. Keep going, Steve. We're with you. We're with you, my friend.
Okay. I'm now a tenant in San Francisco. I used to own a building.
You're in kind of like a cavern. Are you not? You're calling from your unit, and it sounds like you're in a cave.
I'm actually calling from inside my car. Here, let me get it online.
No, that's all right. Come on. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Okay. Is this better?
That's better. Sure.
Okay. I owned a building and sold it in 2005. It was a three-unit building. You know, I was a really great landlord. I loved my tenants. We actually used to go out to dinner with them.
I bet you love to look in the mirror, don't you?
No, not anymore, now that I'm on the other side. So. But my question has to do with, I'm looking, I really liked owning my building. I did have a problem tenant at the very end, and that was sort of a big headache. But now I'm looking to maybe buy another building again. And the question I have is about owner move-ins. What are the rules, and what sort of, I don't know if it's changed since I had my building in 2000, you know, from early 2000, or 98 until 2006.
Mm, mm.
And my question is, what are the rules now governing owner move-ins if there is an empty unit in the building? Does the owner, the buyer, have to move into that building, or if he's moving someone out, does he have to offer that unit to the people that he is displacing? And what are the time limits on move-ins? I heard there was a 3-year before you could actually move the unit, displacing another. You know,
you've got a major number of questions, and I would highly recommend, Steve, that we can't take care of this on the radio program. I mean, my guests, I'm sure, will respond to you, but I think what you need to do, and by the way, I want to inform you and everybody else that the State Bar's ethics rules don't permit my guests to give specific legal advice on the radio. So there's only so much we can do. My suggestion is, what city are you thinking of buying another building in?
It would be in San Francisco.
Yeah. I think what you might want to do, we've got a couple of landlord-tenant attorneys here for Call a Lawyer tonight. I'll also be giving in a few minutes the lawyer referral number. If you don't have an attorney in mind, you might want to at least start with calling the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar Association and make an appointment with an attorney who represents landlords. And half an hour, and that's $35. That's not very much. But frankly, knowing how potentially expensive it can be, if you make mistakes as a landlord, I think it's really worth the investment for you, and it's a legitimate expense that you can, I think, put in your tax return as a deduction to get some good legal advice. But what comments do you have for him?
Okay, I agree with what was said about seeking legal advice. One of the things that people who are in the landlord business don't realize sometimes that they're in business, and second of all, in San Francisco or another rent-controlled city, that they're in business in a heavily regulated industry. Having said that, as an overview, when you do the owner move-in, you have to have... you can't have an ulterior motive. It has to be your true intent. And if you...
That you are going to live there.
That you're going to live there. It's going to be your primary residence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would, if I were representing a tenant who got an OMI, an owner move-in notice, when the owner had just rented the empty unit next door, I would really think that they're doing it so that they can get more money from this unit. And I think that that would show bad faith and an ulterior motive, and it would get very expensive. But before you do anything, go get yourself a landlord's lawyer.
I absolutely agree with that, and I can't emphasize it enough. But just to give you a basic background in it, you would have to disclose in the notice any other property that you owned. You would have to explain why, in effect, you want this unit that you're moving into. I represent a lot of landlords, and oftentimes I have to ask them the question, well, there are four units in the building. Why are you picking the one that's got the tenant that's been there the longest and is paying the lowest amount of rent? It's a natural inclination. Landlords want to maximize the profits on their apartments.
Yeah.
Now, there are cases where it's a question the landlord can't walk upstairs for whatever reason, and he needs the bottom unit, things like that. But it's very complicated. You would have to pay relocation expenses. You have to intend in good faith to live there for at least 36 consecutive months. And the rent board has been known to check up on this. So if you were to move out after a year, you could get in big trouble with the rent board. It's actually a criminal offense in San Francisco in addition to a civil matter. So again, I would emphasize you really need to talk to an attorney before you do it.
Are you somewhat wary about getting private legal advice, Steve?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I just, being a tenant now, I am much more pro-tenant than I am pro-landlord because I've had bad landlords. I don't want to do anything illegal, but what I wouldn't want to do is buy a building and not be able to live there, because the only real reason for me to actually live in the building, not for any ulterior motive, and I've seen ulterior, motives perpetrated on units.
And,
my friends are tenants. I really respect tenants and their rights.
I just want to add one more thing. Before you actually buy a building, you need to check the eviction history of that building. And the reason is there can only be one landlord move-in for the whole building, ever.
Are you kidding?
One unit.
You're kidding.
One unit, yes. So if the two landlords ago, a landlord evicted someone to move in, and now that landlord is selling,
How would you find out about that?
Well, the rent board, in theory, keeps track of that. But also, you could conceivably check under the old landlord's name at the on the court's website, the San Francisco Superior Court, to see if they've been involved in any eviction actions.
Yeah, you need to take your time and be very careful about this, Steve. Yeah.
Right, that's going to determine whether you want to actually buy the building or not.
That's true.
And also, the real cost of dislocating people is not just the statutory cost, because that's the amount you're going to have to pay if you spend $50,000 to $100,000 and go through a jury trial and win. You're still going to have to pay that.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to take that risk and spend that amount, you're going to have to give the tenant a good chunk of money to so you can avoid that problem. And I'm talking about mid five figures.
You know, Steve, you got a lot of work to do, a lot of homework. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye. All right, I think we have time for one more call before we end the statewide version of the program. For those of you who are listening to us live in the Bay Area or live on the Internet at www.kow.org, we do continue for another half hour, both in the Bay Area and on the Internet. And, Thomas, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have probably a very unusual problem. I live on a ship at Pier 38 in San Francisco. And the port of San Francisco has been trying to evict us, and we've been fighting it, and we actually have a court date set later this year.
By that, I presume you mean evict you so that you can't have your ship at Pier 38? Is that what you're saying? Or
exactly.
To kick you out of the ship?
No, they want us to take the ship away.
Okay. How long is your ship?
175 feet.
Whoa. That's pretty impressive, Thomas.
Yeah, it's a big
Are you step. Are you a contributor to this station by any chance? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The port has been trying to evict us, and we are fighting it. And a couple of days ago, without getting notice, they turned off our water.
That's probably illegal.
Yeah, it's the port of San Francisco too, and they seem to think that because they're rich and powerful, that they're above the law. It gets worse than that. Today they turned off our power.
Wow.
And John Davey at the port, I talked to him briefly, said that he was trying to drive us out.
Well, yeah, obviously, obviously.
Right.
You have a written agreement with them, do you, of the rental for that at Pier 38?
Well, it's a little more complicated than
that. Wait a minute, Thomas. Thomas, we can't take a lot more time. Let me try to get at least some comments for you initially,
okay.
And then if you want, we can, after we end the statewide version of the program, continue for a couple more minutes. But any comments for him at this point?
Sure. Thomas, considering that you're in litigation, I'm almost certain that you have an attorney if you don't get one tonight. Or tomorrow before noon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you really need to do is sit down with your lawyer and figure out how to handle this as opposed to trying to get a general idea for Mark or myself on the air. The general rule is that with a residence, it's illegal for a landlord to terminate electrical utilities or water. However, that begs the question of whether this is a residence.
Yeah.
So,
well,
like
it's
I said,
residence, but it's not a ship.
Yeah.
You need to talk. Sit down with your lawyer.
Yeah. Do you have a lawyer? Do you, Thomas?
We have a lawyer, but I wanted to perhaps explore this issue with another lawyer for various reasons. Probably don't want to go into it right now.
No, but, we don't have time. We don't have time to do that. Mark, do you have any comments for him?
The only comment I have is that whether they are a landlord or not, they have no right to take self-help actions, cutting off utilities. They are bound by the law like everybody else, and what they did today was wrong. And you can probably recover damages for that.
Have you been paying rent for having your ship there?
We've tried, but they won't take our money.
When did they stop taking your money? How long ago?
Our original lease was with Carl Ernst, who was the master leaseholder with the port. And we had a trade agreement with Carl Ernst, and they threw him out of the pier. And so we then tried to change that situation into one where we paid the port money directly, and they wouldn't take it.
When's the last time you paid the port?
We've never paid the port.
You've never paid the
port. It's a subtenancy, in other words.
I see. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck to you. Also, what I would suggest, Thomas, is we because this is called a lawyer night, you will have a chance to speak to either or both of the landlord-tenant attorneys who are here, and I'll give that phone number in just a minute. All right. It is 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. We're doing our regular Call a Lawyer program also, and I'll let you know who the Call a Lawyers are. We do a landlord-tenant program probably every 6 weeks because this is such a big area that people really like. So let me give you the phone number both for on the air, and that's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you would like to speak to any one of our lawyers for Call a Lawyer, which we do usually on the last Wednesday of the month on a regular monthly basis, that number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. There is no obligation whatsoever when you call and speak to an attorney off the air for Call a Lawyer. This is a great public service these attorneys are doing. They are incredibly generous with their time. And some of these people, for example, Alice O'Sullivan, a former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization, who's a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. She's been doing this for 17 years, believe it or not. And I think my good friend Mark Seidenfeld, who's here, has actually been involved with this program for about 10 years, right, Mark?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And Jeff Hayden, who's a certified specialist in criminal law, who's here for Call a Lawyer, has been doing this for 10 years. Janet Frankel, who's a certified specialist in family law, has been doing this for several years. Peter Fortune, the chair of the Legal Malpractice Commission of the Board of Legal Specialization, has been doing this for several years. And then for landlord-tenant, we've got Joseph LaPera and Jesse Ralph, two gentlemen who are landlord-tenant attorneys. And then we've got Arlo Uriarte for employment law and labor law. We have Kara Weissman, who was formerly the attorney for the court in San Mateo County, is now on her own as a private attorney. She's here to talk about immigration law and small claims court with you. And then Frank Adam, who's been, I think he's been doing this for, I think it's 12 years, involved with this program. He does tax law and real estate. And then patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde for several years, actually a good number of years. And finally, if you are being hounded by creditors, you'd like to find out whether or not bankruptcy would be of any assistance to you whatsoever, Leon Bayer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, who has been doing this for many, many years. He's been a guest on this program. He's been doing Call a Lawyer on Thursdays after we do it on Wednesday evening. He'll be available tomorrow from noon, pardon me, from 8 a.m. to noon. And his 800 number is 800-477-3111. 800-477-3111. If you call and you get his voicemail, just leave your name and phone number. He'll call you back. He's really very good about this. Okay, let's do this. We've got Seth. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. And by the way, for those of you who've tuned in the last few minutes, my guests who are true stars, incredibly generous with their time. I mentioned Mark Seidenfeld, who represents landlords sometimes, tenants sometimes, has offices in South San Francisco, and James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants exclusively, whose office is in San Francisco. And Coy has been doing this how many years, Coy?
Well, actually, I was born here.
Yeah.
I was born on this radio program.
You were the one who was born.
I was a witness. I saw it.
Now I remember
what
this.
What a sight.
This was wonderful. Okay, Seth, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Are you there? We've turned Seth off. Okay, the number here for on the air, is this Charlotte? Charlotte.
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. I rent a top of a house in San Francisco, and last year my landlord, previously our rental agreement included all of our utilities. And then after the first year expired, our landlord told us she wanted to include the utilities separately because they were so expensive. Mm-hmm. And so I told her we would do whatever we could to cut down our usage.
Yeah.
And she asked if we would sign another rental agreement, which we didn't do. So I guess we're just month to month now.
And you are where, Charlotte?
San Francisco?
Yeah, okay.
And so my question is, just a couple of weeks ago, she emailed me and our downstairs neighbors a bill for all of 2012 for the utilities.
Well, if
out
I...
Out of nowhere.
Okay.
How much is the bill?
It's $2,000
for the year 2012.
Okay,
correct.
Well, if you have...
I like the approach she takes. I'm surprised she didn't put on the bill 2012. Go ahead, Coy, please.
If your agreement, whether in the original lease or the way that it was conducted by the parties, was that the landlord was paying the utilities, she cannot unilaterally impose a change, and she cannot evict you for refusing to agree to sign a lease that's materially different terms. And going from not charging utilities to charging for utilities is a materially different term. And this is what Mark and I talk about all the time. You get small-time landlords who don't know what they're doing, don't have counsel, and get themselves in trouble. I would simply ignore her. I would ignore her bill. I would ignore her her demand for a new lease. And if she does something else, talk to a tenant's attorney.
I agree with everything Coy just said. Shocking, I know, but it's true.
Yeah. Charlotte, what I would suggest you do, since you're in San Francisco, I'm going to give the phone number in just a moment for the lawyer referral service for the San Francisco Bar. I think it's very important for you at this time to get some basic information from an attorney who represents principally tenants in San Francisco. So do you have something to write down with?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. The number for the lawyer referral service pardon me, for the San Francisco bar is 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. You will find that if you call them, tell them what the problem is, they'll do their best to find someone who's available and experienced. There are lots of landlord-tenant attorneys who represent tenants who are very experienced in San Francisco. They'll set up a half-hour consultation for you. You'll pay $35 to the bar, not to the attorney, and it's a great service. So I would suggest you do that at this point and really get yourself a little bit of security in terms of what your rights are and what your obligations may be. And it sounds like your rights are in your favor as opposed to the obligations. So we're going to move on. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck to you.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, let me also give, for those of you who may have a legal problem, whether it's landlord, tenant, or whatever, and you need to talk to a lawyer, the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation, which is a very broad area. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And, of course, I want you to know that the Bar Association of San Francisco is one of the funders of this program. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KOW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. And you can call that one at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149, and see if you can get an appointment with an attorney for half an hour. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a county bar association and lawyer referral service. The same type of thing happens throughout the state. Call your own lawyer referral service in your county. Tell them what the problem is. They'll find someone for you who's experienced, set up a half-an-hour consultation, and throughout the state, with some exception, minor exception, for half an hour, it could be a low of $25, perhaps a high of $35. Now, for those of you who would like to talk to any of the attorneys here who are these gracious people who have been doing this, most of them for many years, the number is 1-800-525-9917. And I want to alert you, those of you who are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association and the San Mateo County Library, which is part of the government, San Mateo County government, it has a library system with libraries throughout various cities in San Mateo County. I think it's something like 11 different cities, something like that. You can Google, not necessarily Google, you can go to the website for the San Mateo County Library System, SMCL, SanMateoCountyLibrary.org, SMCL.org, and you can find out, depending on what city you're in, when the lawyer will be at your local library. And some it's the first Sunday of the month, some it's the first Tuesday of the month, some second Thursday. It depends on where you live. It's a great service that's available, no obligation whatsoever. All right. Let's see who we've got here. We did Seth, we've got Charlotte, and we've got Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you, and thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
My question is quite simply, I am thinking of leaving a building I have occupied for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
And I'm...
You're thinking of going on that boat with, what's his name, with Thomas?
Who knows? But my question is, what constitutes regular wear and tear? Mm. I mean, when you've been here this long,
yeah,
obviously there's a lot of deterioration.
Sure.
And the place was not perfect by any means when I came in.
Yeah.
But one thing I am concerned about is they're going to have to repaint. And I have seen that they do this automatically.
Sure.
As tenants leave. They're about 12 tenants in this building. And, you know,
Are you in San Francisco,
yes,
Margaret?
Yes, yeah. I am.
When was the last time they painted your unit?
Never.
Never. Well,
I mean, when I came in, it was painted.
Well, yeah, but I mean, hey, I'm not a landlord tenant attorney, but I don't think they can charge you for painting that unit. What do you think, Mark?
The problem is that the term normal wear and tear is extremely subjective.
Yeah.
One man's normal wear and tear is another person's outrageous destruction of the premises. The law requires that at least 2 weeks before you vacate, the landlord has to at least offer to do a walkthrough of the unit with you.
Yeah.
To give you an opportunity, the landlord would say, okay, this is a problem, it needs to be fixed, and I'm going to deduct it from your security deposit unless you fix it in the next 2 weeks before you leave. Hopefully, you and your landlord can agree on what needs to be done. If you cannot, however, and if what the landlord ends up doing is something you disagree with, your remedy, unfortunately, is to go to small claims court. I can tell you most landlords do automatically repaint when someone moves out because a new tenant wants new paint.
I've seen him do it on numerous occasions.
Sure. The question is, if you've been there 18 years, he's absolutely going to repaint it. But it seems to me, and this is just an opinion, that you would not be responsible for that because if it hasn't been repainted in 18 years, that's his fault, not yours.
Yeah. And also, if you didn't damage the paint, but it just has gotten old from living there, that's absolutely ordinary wear and tear. One thing I'd suggest you consider, have you given notice yet?
No.
Good. What I would consider is you're most likely paying about half of what the market rent is. And you or your attorney may want to approach the landlord and say, hey, I'm thinking of moving out, and you're going to get a windfall if I do that. How about you give me some of that? Because if you just give 30 days notice and move, all of a sudden, instead of making X dollars on the apartment, the landlord's going to be making 2X or 3X. So I think it'd be a really good idea to approach your landlord and see if you can get some money to terminate your tenancy.
Well, you may be shocked at what I'm going to tell you, but he actually said to me, I wish you would move. And so I said, I will. For $100,000.
Good for you. I would have started higher, but good for you.
Well, good. But what do you think the chances are that he would take me up on
such a deal? Well, tell me how he reacted when you said that.
The chances are absolutely nil.
Did he paint?
Horrified.
Oh, yeah, I bet he was horrified. You're a toughie. Oh, man.
Well, you're not that far off. I've gotten 150 a couple of times.
Oh, I'm so pleased to hear it.
You should remember that extortion is a crime.
He said, what you're proposing is illegal.
Well, listen, with what Mark is saying here, if you really push this, you could get some free rent in the local jail.
That's not fair.
No,
God.
The reality is in San Francisco, tenants are bought out by their landlords all the time.
That's what I know, but yes. If I was doing something positively criminal.
Well, technically speaking, it is.
No, it isn't.
Sure it is.
No, it isn't. You're not threatening to turn somebody into a government agent. See, you're saying, if you want to buy my right to this tenancy, give me money. If not, I'll just stay here.
Margaret,
it's a thin line.
I think what you need to do, Margaret.
Then landlords are extorting tenants when they ask them to move for money.
Listen, Margaret, I think what you need to do... Do you know where you're going to go?
I hope not to a senior citizen residence.
Is that what you want to do, go to a senior citizen?
Not particularly, but, you know, it's a situation where as awful as this place is, if I move, I have to pay $1,000 more rent for the same thing.
Yeah. Well, let me suggest this to you, which I think you should do, is I think you should... Did you get the phone number for a lawyer referral for San Francisco?
I know it. I listen to your program weekly.
Then do it. Call tomorrow to San Francisco Lawyer Referral and make an appointment to meet with an attorney. It'll cost you $35. It's a great way to start. And it may be based upon, frankly, the fact that you would like to get some money, and Coy is suggesting that there may be a good potential here for you getting money if you work out something with your landlord and he doesn't faint again. I think you should do that. So please call tomorrow, will you?
Thank thank you so much. And
yeah.
for your wonderful program.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful lawyers.
I want you to be careful that you don't do something that's rash. No, I'm serious.
Always good advice.
Yeah, don't do something rash. Get some good advice. And maybe do some arm twisting of your landlord.
I wish you would move. How am I to respond?
Well, hey, okay, I'll move. Pay me the adequate amount of money.
My response is, if you hadn't planned on moving, would be to say, no, I'm not moving. That's all. He can't force you out.
What do you think I am, Bozo? You think I'm going to move? Bozo, write down the word Bozo. Because you may want to use it.
B-O-Z-O.
Good luck, Margaret.
You are a great gentleman.
I want you to, the next time we do a landlord-tenant program.
Call back.
I do. I want you to call back and tell us what happened.
Well, thank you again.
Yeah. Okay, you take care of yourself.
All the best to all of you.
All right, my dear.
Bye.
Okay, take care, Margaret. All right. Are the call a lawyers busy? Does everyone have a phone to his or her head? Three are open or three are taken? They're open. Okay. I want you to take advantage of our call a lawyer because they're only going to be here about another 14 minutes. That number, 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank them. Leon Bayer tomorrow, by the way, certified specialist in bankruptcy law from 8 a.m. to noon. 1-800-477-3111. I want to thank Ron Rohde for patent law, aviation law, lemon law. Frank Adam, tax law, real estate, small claims court, immigration. Kara Weissman, employment law. Arlo Uriarte, landlord-tenant law, both Jesse Ralph and Joseph LaPera. Legal malpractice law, Peter Fortune. Family law, Janet Franklin. Criminal law, Jeff Hayden. And workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, 1-800-525-9917. And Seth, you have returned.
I have.
Our wandering boy has returned. What can we do for you?
Well, we have an issue in our apartment in Oakland. The landlord had to replace the back stairs because there were some rotted stairs and the railing was very loose.
No one got injured, I hope.
What?
No one got injured?
Well, actually, one person, the rail broke on the unit below us.
Whoa.
And they fell, but they didn't get hurt.
Wow.
And now they're trying to claim it's a building improvement and sent us basically a $10,000 bill they want to pay for the next 5 years.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out why they... I mean, we do have a rent board hearing coming up, but I'm just trying to think where the... When I read the rules, I just don't see where the landlord is coming from.
You are then in a building that's covered by the Oakland Rent Board, Oakland Rent Ordinance, are you?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. What comments do you have on this one, Mark?
I have no idea where your landlord's coming from either.
I mean, that's nuts. That's nuts. You're going to have people break a neck or something?
We don't know all the details, and I'm sure there's another side, but sound crazy to me, and I don't see what basis the landlord would have for doing that.
Like what? It's now under a management company.
Oh.
And they're saying, they even sent us a letter, don't use the stairs. We don't know what condition they're on, but in bold, don't use the stairs because, my wife told them the stairs are in disrepair. The landlord who turned it over to the management company knew they were in disrepair because we had conversations with them.
Seth, wait a minute. We've got Coy's getting excited. We don't want him exploding.
No. We're running out of time, and I need to tell you something. Call Housing Inspection and Code Enforcement in Oakland. Call them tomorrow morning. Have them come out and cite the landlord for the condition of the stairs.
No, the stairs have been repaired.
Okay, you said they were telling you not to use them. That was in the past?
That was in the past.
Okay, so that doesn't matter. What we're talking about now is can they charge you for that? And I don't think they can.
I don't see how they can.
I'm positive they can.
I mean, that's outrageous. Well, what were people supposed to do if they weren't supposed to use the stair? Use parachutes?
Yeah, I mean... Seth,
I'm serious. What were the tenants supposed to do if they couldn't use the steps? Were there some other steps they could use?
No.
Well, this is outrageous.
He said these were the back steps.
I mean, there's steps to the backyard and then steps out the front door.
I see. Okay. All right. So you couldn't use the back steps to go to the backyard.
Correct.
And how many units in the building?
four units.
Mm-hmm.
And the stairs up to the other unit is also in disrepair.
Oh, wow.
And ours was much worse. But they're saying, oh, no, no, it was just something we needed. We were doing it as a building improvement, not that they were in such disrepair.
Well, that's nuts.
The only conceivable way I can imagine the landlord could properly ask you to pay for it would be if you had caused the dilapidation somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it was wear and tear and it was just rotten wood, there's no way that you're responsible for that.
No.
So.
And the other thing is, I always think that the best defense is a good offense. You may be able to file a rent board petition for reduction of services for those months when you couldn't get to the backyard and see how he likes those apples.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And have you seen, by any chance, have you contacted the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service just to sit down with a lawyer for half an hour and get some...
Yeah, we basically put our case together, and I'm trying to arrange to meet with an attorney.
When are you going to the rent board?
Towards the end of March, March 20th.
Okay, well, don't put this off. Try to get in as soon as you can and educate yourself about what you can or cannot do. And contact the lawyer referral service. So good luck to you, Seth.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming back. I know you were waiting and got tired or whatever, but thank you very much for coming back. Take care now. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, here's a question. I don't know that both of you, this has come up before, this type of question has come up before, and I'm not sure that this is something that either of you can respond to. The question pertains to long-term tenants in subsidized rentals paying much less than market rates. Subsidized, which would mean, I guess, government money, et cetera, et cetera. A number of tenants are in federally subsidized housing, often referred to as Section 8 housing, some paying rent there for many years. In case the property owner lets go of the rental units or dies, and that person's estate becomes the proprietor, what happens to protect the tenants from losing out on the subsidized rentals? Is there any kind of problem there?
It's standard law. If there's an existing rental agreement, it continues until it expires or it's terminated. In a rent-controlled jurisdiction like San Francisco, it will continue indefinitely. And the fact that it's subsidized doesn't mean the landlord isn't necessarily getting market rent.
Yeah.
The tenant may be paying a small portion, but the housing authority is paying a much larger portion.
Yes. Any comments on that one?
No. Boy. And in addition to the tenant protections under state and local law, there's also restrictions on that Section 8 imposed on the landlord. So, I mean, if you have a question that's not a generalized question but specific to your own situation, talk to a lawyer.
Yeah. And because Section 8 is a very specific area, it's federal law, is it not?
Yes.
It's not state law.
No.
So it's not California landlord tenant law. So that's something that depending on where you are, and I don't know where this question comes from, but it doesn't matter. We're dealing with subsidized housing. I would suggest, so that you know exactly what you can do, contact your local bar association lawyer referral service. Tell them that you are involved as a tenant in subsidized housing. You would like to meet with an attorney who has experience in dealing with this and get a half an hour consultation. This is a great way for you to do this. And by the way, these lawyer referral service opportunities are great services. And no one really makes much money on this. Certainly the lawyers don't. The lawyer don't get any of the money, which is appropriate, frankly. The Bar Association does to be able to continue this public service. So that's what I would suggest. And also take advantage. I see a couple of attorneys in our conference room here standing up. I don't know whether they're going to take off flapping their arms and they're going to fly out of here. I'm not sure. But if you'd like to talk to any one of them, it's 1-800-525-9917. Don't wait much longer because who knows? They're going to run out of here as fast as they can. In any event, anybody else who would like to talk with my guests on the air, we do have about 3 minutes left, 1-415-841. 1-414-1-414-1-414-5-841-4134. 1-414-1-414-5-841-4134. Are you finding, either of you, because of the general economy, that things are either worse or better or about the same as far as the landlord-tenant business is concerned?
Well, my experience is that landlords are trying to get creative again about throwing tenants in the street because they can get more money.
The tenants you're dealing with who have landlords, it appears that the economy is improving and therefore the landlords feel they can try to get more money. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. That if they dispossess the tenants.
Yeah. Okay.
The market is up. Landlords are getting more rents, but they're not dispossessing more tenants than they ever have before.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm very glad to hear that. I think we have, Martin, time for one more call. Let's see if we can get that person on the line because we have about 1 minute to do so. I want to let you know that if you are an employee or an employer and you're having an employment problem at work, we're going to talk about some of the recent employment law court decisions next week. My guest will be Anthony Onsidi. He was one of the advisors to the labor and employment law section of the state bar. He's down in L.A. and a very experienced attorney. And so if you have questions, whether you're an employee or an employer, please join us. Martin, do we have one more person that we want to put on the air? No, we don't. Okay. All right. Any final comments that you might have, Coy, for the audience?
Yeah. Before you decide to give notice, before you decide to move out because the landlord asks you, before you decide, oh, my goodness, this place is in total disrepair, I better move, talk to an attorney.
Yeah.
You don't get medical advice from the guy down the street. Don't get your legal advice from the guy down the street. Yeah. Go see a physician. Go see an attorney.
Yeah. How about you, Mark?
You would be surprised how many people get medical advice and legal advice from their brother-in-law's plumber.
Yeah,
it's extremely common. Yeah. The best advice I can give if you are a tenant and you're having a problem with your landlord is first talk to your landlord and try and resolve it. Because most landlords, despite what you may think, are regular folk who have no desire to fight.
You know,
and one thing I'd add to that, most plumbers can give good medical advice.
But really bad legal advice.
Yes.
It's when they use the plumber's what's the
helper.
The plumber's helper.
That's where I hold off. I don't want that kind of advice from a plumber when he's using the plumber's helper. Okay. All right. So that's where we are at this point in terms of what's going on. Also, if you're looking for a certified specialist in the area of any one of our certified specialties, 11 that the Board of Legal Specialization has, you can either call the state number 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or go to the internet at www.californiaspecialist.org, www.californiaspecialist.org. I want to thank you both very much for being with me on the program again.
It's always a pleasure.
I should say,
absolutely.
I should say, with us, you two are both great stars. James, no, you really are. You're very generous with your time and incredibly knowledgeable. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants exclusively, his offices are in San Francisco, and Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney, landlord-tenant attorney who represents landlords sometimes, tenants sometimes. His offices are in South San Francisco. I look forward to seeing you both in a month or two. Thank you very much. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, by the San Mateo County Bar Association, by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, by the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, and by the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, if you have a problem, employment problem at work, whether you're an employee or an employer, join us. We're going to be talking about some recent employment law court decisions. My guest will be Anthony Onsidi, a labor and employment law attorney who's a partner with a major firm down in L.A., former advisor to the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar of California. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.
Uh-huh.